What is up, business owners, entrepreneurs, and probably my grandma? You are listening to Business Vibe. Today's interview is with Tyler Sconti, a fractional SEO consultant. Tyler dives into how brand new businesses can still rank for the first page of Google, even with recent updates. What type of content businesses should be focusing on to get onto that first page, and what marketing channels he used to grow his own business to over six figures.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, good question. So I have a background. I've kind of bounced around a little bit. I began my career in financial services and then bounced over to HubSpot, where I spent over 6 years. And that's really where I took a love of writing that I've always had and applied it to marketing, which was really cool. I started in customer success, where I got to work with a lot of HubSpot customers. I think I helped upwards of like 3,000 HubSpot customers I got to interact with in one way or another, which is really cool. And then ended up making the jump to products, where I worked as a product manager for 3 years. Now, probably be thinking, hey, I thought, you said you do SEO. I'm here in HubSpot and product management. What does that have to do with it? Well, I realized product managers have a very specific way that they think about things and they strategize. I started applying that to my own marketing work that I did for myself. And I did some freelance work as well. And I found that it actually worked really, really well for the clients that I started taking on. And that kind of ballooned out to where I am here.
And so you're a fractional SEO. That's your business.
Exactly.
And can you explain to those who might not know what fractional SEO is?
Fractional is become a more popular term. I've kind of latched onto it within the past year because I think it best describes how I operate. You know, when you hire someone for SEO, you'll have a wide variety of options. You can hop on Upwork or Fiverr, hire a freelancer. You can hire an agency or a consultant. You can hire someone in-house for your team. And there are certainly good folks within each of those different ways that you can hire. I've found that there's always a mixed bag in terms of the quality. And I think it's not always just that they don't know SEO. I think it's that SEO is shifting to be more of a strategic role. It's not just, here's the keywords that we got from a keyword research tool, put them in your page and put them in your blog and you're good to go. It's really about, how does your business operate? How do your customers use the internet to research and make buying decisions? What does your buying process look like? What does their buying process look like? Do you have content that matches them at that whole search journey from start to finish in all these different touch points? That's kind of the thinking that I took as a product manager to take towards content marketing and SEO. I found it works a lot better. And it's much more of a strategic role. So as a fractional SEO, it's basically like hiring someone to lead your team, but for much slower than the market rate of making a full-time hire. So I get to work with other different companies and kind of learn about their businesses and be on hand for their questions and provide that strategic guidance.
What attracted you to the fractional model as opposed to being working as in a full-time role with SEO?
I've always wanted to run my own business. That's the main thing. Yeah, I love SEO. To an extent, I really enjoyed being a product manager as well. I think I'm better suited for marketing than product management, especially having done this full time for just over a year. But I've always wanted to run my own business, and it gives me the ability to talk to and interact with a lot of different companies, learn about them, constantly be challenged in that way, which is what I've really enjoyed.
With somebody who runs a fractional SEO business, what can they make?
So it kind of... it'll depend on your experience, the industry or niche that you're in, and how many clients you can take on. When it comes to solo founders in SEO, in lucrative niches, you can easily make up to $250,000 a year just on your own. I broke with Centauri, we broke six figures last year. I've been doing this in some way or another for like 5 years, in addition to being a product manager. It was kind of my nights and weekends gig to make extra money. And going full-time last year, we broke six figures. More of a difficult year than I anticipated. People were, the economy's a little tricky. But we've still grown on track to grow 30% this year. And hopefully hit, our kind of next milestones at the $250,000 mark and hopefully hit that soon-ish. Probably not this year, but maybe next year, the year after.
When you were launching your business and starting to launch out on your own thing, what were kind of the first steps to take your idea and make that into an actual business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a journey that could have been a lot shorter. I started off doing SEO freelance work and charging hourly. I didn't want to pay, 100, 200 bucks a month for an SEO tool. Being a product guy, I thought, I'll build my own SEO tool. That's kind of where Centauri started. It's SEO software that was a little simpler and gave me the tools I needed to do the work that I wanted to do for my clients. There's specific reporting functions I do and all that good stuff. I won't get into the particulars. I thought, I got a software product I can use. I built it myself. Why don't I sell this? And I found that we were really successful at driving traffic to our website, getting people into the funnel, signing up for the tool, not successful getting customers. The reason is every single time someone signed up for it, they thought, I don't know how to use this. I don't know what to use this for. And I thought, it's a product solution for onboarding and education. Nobody has time for that. What I realize is it doesn't matter what tool you use. All that really matters is how strategic is your thinking. Why are you picking some content topics versus the other? How good is your content? And I quickly realized, as within about a year or so, I needed to take more of a strategic focus and really get to know my customers and work with a small subset at a more involved role for them to be successful in SEO. And that's where it started. It was kind of like more of an SEO coaching is what I pitched it as. Along the time, I realized they need a little bit more than a coach. They need someone to really get involved in the guts of their business and lead their team. And that led to the fractional SEO, a term that I use today.
What was that getting that first client like? So you said you're more of kind of like a consultant for them. What was that like to getting those first clients as far as that? What was that like?
Yeah. My first freelance gig came off of Reddit. I'm still with them. This was like 6 years ago or 7 years ago. It was a while ago. I've been working with them. They're great. They sell shoe insoles online. They're a lot of fun. They've been a huge success story, but I found them on Reddit. It was on the For Hire subreddit. And that's kind of a mixed bag. I was very lucky to get this gig. It was just for an SEO audit that turned into, hey, this is actually pretty good. You want to continue to do some work? And then just kind of continued into a retainer that I charge today. For that first coaching client, that was a post on Indie Hackers. I'm really involved in forums. I love, like you mentioned that you saw my comment on Reddit. I love answering questions and seeing the types of questions and challenges business owners face and answering them. But I also love just sharing valuable content. So I actually shared a post at Indie Hackers about how I failed to build an SEO software company and I'm pivoting to offering more strategic guidance. And that led to a comment from one of the folks in the forum said, this is really interesting. I'd like to talk to you more. They ended up being a great client that I had for a few years. And it just snowballed from there as I started building up case studies and and getting more referrals and all that good stuff.
Before we move into the marketing area, how did you determine like your pricing model for your services?
Yeah, good question. I tend to play a little fast and loose with pricing. I think this comes from just, being at HubSpot and seeing how much HubSpot experimented with their product and how they packaged it and positioned it. I kind of take a view of pricing as when you're just starting out, you got to see what you can charge and not like kind of quote unquote get away with. See what people are willing to pay. And if people don't even question it, they say that's a no-brainer, you raise your price. And until people start saying, hey, I got to think about it, you keep raising your prices just to get a sense of what the market is willing to bear. And that's tough, right? SEO, you can pay someone $15, $20 an hour. And I bill at $200 an hour if you want a one-off consultation. It really comes into understanding your target market, who you're going after, how you communicate the value, and then finding, what are people willing to pay? I'm able to charge what I charge because I found enough people say, yeah, sure, I'll pay that. That's part of the game. But it takes a while. It took, I'd say, a good 2 to 3 years of iteration to finally get where I'm at. And sometimes I'm even still thinking I should raise my prices.
Yeah, and that seems to be a big challenge on people, especially when somebody's new, is what do I charge? And they end up undercutting themselves. And
exactly
that.
Yeah, exactly. Because at the end of the day, if you want to be in business, you have to be in business. You're not doing it for free and it's not a hobby. If you want to do something full time, you gotta charge what you're worth and you have to know what you're worth. And that takes time to learn, just from doing that. But when I was starting out and I got my first client off of Reddit, I think I charged like $50 an hour or $25 an hour or something really low because they were my first SEO client. But I worked with, multi-million dollar SaaS companies. I worked with investment firms, kind of the gamut and it really, larger companies. And I've been able to say and demonstrate, hey, here's the traffic we've driven, the lead volume, the revenue. With that comes this case studies where you're going to say, okay, if you want these results, it's not, I'm going to do SEO for you. I'm going to get your business these results. And that takes time. So
moving into like kind of the marketing and the client acquisition of kind of when you first, when you first started, what marketing strategies have been most effective in attracting and gaining clients?
It's been interesting. I'm very good at obviously SEO. So we get a lot of traffic and we have a really quickly growing email lists. I started really investing in email marketing last year, and we've grown our list to almost 700 people on it, which is really cool. That does not always lead to clients, though. You know, we get a lot of folks on that list, and so we're trying to really zone in. The thing that I found probably the best way, because it's a services-based business and it's very relational, referrals, probably number one. Networking is something I've tried a little bit of. I post a lot in forums, and that's helped as well. The big thing I'm honestly looking at is that repeatable engine. If you put X dollars in, you get Y dollars out. That's what we're kind of experimenting with and trying new things with email marketing or doing direct outreach to our list. I don't do really cold outreach because I get enough SEO spam myself. I'm trying not to add to it. But that's been a journey, to be honest. It's that's kind of the perks of running a business.
Do you do any collaborations? I've heard some. I've interviewed a couple fractional, like a CMO and a CFO. Mm-hmm. And do any collaborations with other people that are in that fractional model?
Not necessarily within the fractional space. I've been trying to explore connecting with some fractional CMOs because I'd imagine there's a good alignment there, but. One thing I've had a lot of success with is there's a lot of small businesses that build websites and design websites. And SEO always comes into play. You got a website, it looks great. How are people going to get to there? Do you have a content strategy? I found that to be an effective way to grow. And in the past year, we built relationships with some web developers and designers, which have led to a few clients, which has been pretty good.
Moving into kind of the operational side, this is something that's really intrigued me and piqued my curiosity. I'm sure, you have more than one client, I'm sure, at once. You have multiple clients.
Yeah, I've got about, about a dozen or so.
And so what tools and processes do you use to manage those multiple clients? I assume it gets a little hectic from the day to day. You know, somebody wants something here, somebody wants something here. How do you manage that?
Yeah, so I use Trello to kind of map out the content strategies. Basically, I'm managing their content strategy for them. These are the topics we're going to hit on in either I'm advising them on what to do or I'm creating the content for them. There's a split there. That kind of depends on how much support they need. It's about a 50-50 split between my clients. So I'm using Trello to map out the content strategies. I still use the software that we built for the keyword research and kind of tracking our performance. We integrate with Google Analytics and Google Search Console. So you know, I can manage the strategy in Trello, create the content. I use Google Docs for drafting. And then submit to them, or they'll sometimes send me content to review through Google Docs. We track it all in our software dashboard that we built. So that way we can say, here's how this topic cluster is doing versus that topic cluster. Here's what's bringing in leads. And then I use Loom every month. I make a quick video snapshot on how things are going, what I'd recommend we prioritize. And then, you know, we send that out. I also use HubSpot as well for managing email newsletters, managing our client newsletter, that type of thing.
And so you mentioned kind of that communication with the client. Yeah. How do you ensure you have that clear communication? And for people who might not fully understand SEO, do you have some customers that just fully don't understand what's going on and they have their own idea of direction that needs to be taken?
You know, SEO is one of those things it's heavily misunderstood. I'd say the majority of my clients tend to know enough about SEO to value it and understand the value that it provides. If someone doesn't understand SEO at all, that's a hard place to start because then you got to do a lot of convincing that what you're doing is working or worth it versus demonstrating this as an investment you need to make. For instance, you know, you have a very small business that's just starting out and, you know, doesn't really understand how acquiring clients happens. It's going to be really, really hard to work for them. Similarly, if you're going to have a business that doesn't understand the value that content provides, they're not going to put a lot of effort into their content. They're not going to understand the effort that you're putting in or why it costs as much as it does. That's difficult. Even my clients who know enough about SEO to value it, they still don't know all the particulars. So I do spend a bit of time educating them, showing them this is why I'm doing it this way. This is why we're doing this. And I always put it in context of the business. You want leads, we need to create this content so we can get in front of them at this part of the funnel. This is how that content's performing. This is how many leads it's brought in. That then kind of brings it into focus for them. They don't really care about core web vitals or site speed. They don't always really even care about backlinks necessarily. All they care about is it working? And by working, is our business growing? Is SEO contributing to it? Is there a direct line? So that's what I spend most of my time trying to educate them about and showcase. That's the hardest part. Marketers, even in large companies, like $20 million companies, they still struggle to demonstrate the effectiveness of their work. That's the thing I really drill into with my clients is kind of showing them that.
It's definitely its own monster, SEO, right?
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, it's no different than any other discipline. You know, it's Google ads, email marketing, social media ads, organic social. It's all about, we got a message that we want to communicate. How do we get in front of our ICP, our ideal customer profile? And the better you understand, why are they using that medium? What are they looking for? What type of content do they engage with? That's what sets you up for success. I think the hardest thing for a lot of people to get through is understand and have a little empathy for the user on the other end who's going to become a customer. Why are they on that? And if you mix the message to the wrong platform, you end up falling flat. And that's the thing I really try to focus on as a strategy behind it and demonstrating that.
One thing I was very excited about talking to you about when I was drafting you know, the outline for this interview is, you know, you read a lot online about how changes in SEO are impacting some businesses in a drastic way. So some of these businesses that are reporting being hit hard by recent algorithm updates, have you noticed a similar impact with your businesses or your clients? And if so, how have you adapted?
Oh yeah, that's been a whirlwind to say the least. There's been a couple of things at play. There's the algorithm update. There's some spam updates. Google's still, there's the AI search snippets, and Google's still trying to wrestle with and understand how to interpret the massive influx just in content being created, because there's a lot of AI generated content out there that's starting to flood the web at a faster pace. So there's you're talking about an SEO hurricane. And the thing that I found happen a lot of the times has been, and again, Google's mum on this, and not many, this is all conjecture. So like, take it with a huge giant grain of salt. What I've seen with my websites, my clients and the websites I manage, Google's done a couple of things. Number one is they've almost like culled a lot of keywords that websites rank for. If there are keywords, maybe you ranked on page 4 or 5 for, you got some search impressions for it, maybe a couple of clicks, but you weren't ranking very highly for it. Google just stopped showing your website for that. I saw that for a few clients. These are like lost keywords. I've never seen this before. It flipped a switch in March. Google's been doing a lot more experimentation in the search results. The first page of search results has changed multiple times drastically. There are numerous times where I keep a close eye on my customers' faces, and I've never seen some of these competitors before. Google's always swapping the positions of sites. If you're ranking number 2, maybe they'll bump you down to 8 and see how spot 8 performs in number 2. Which site do people spend on longer? Which site converts best? Google has this data. Google's almost been taking people from page 5 and putting them on page 1 and vice versa. The antidote to this, I found the best way to improve your chances at success is updating your old content. From almost every single time we've updated a client piece, we found that old websites and large websites were really hit. We have some clients who had a lot of traffic growth this year. They're newer websites or smaller sites. For our other clients, almost every piece of content that they updated, big jump up in performance. It really has been as simple as that to some extent. And also really refining what your website's about, really nailing. This is the topic we want to be an authority on. We're not going to spread out to a million other things. This is what we're the authority on. I found that worked pretty well. Google's trying to adjust. And that's really all SEO is paying attention to what works, what doesn't, what gets traffic, what content performs the best, how can you try and stay one step ahead of your competitors? And once you get that traffic, how do you convert it? That's the other big missing ingredient for most SEO folks. We got you this traffic, but getting that to convert is not our problem. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, that's the only thing that matters to the business. That's what pays your retainer. So that's the other big thing I've been really trying to refine is get the traffic that you can, keep the traffic that you get, but then you got to make sure you convert that traffic. And that's also helped people just navigate through. So if your traffic goes up and down, as long as your conversions are strong, that helps as well.
And something I was dying to ask you, is it possible for new businesses that aren't aiming, you know, in that local SEO realm to compete with businesses that are well established? Are they able to kind of come into the market and with, you know, a certain campaign, or can they establish themselves?
Yeah, for sure. You need a strategy. You know, when it comes to new businesses, if you're thinking local SEO, that gets hard. You need reviews. That's the big thing. You need a Google business profile and you need reviews. That's like the number one thing. So if I'm looking up a local business, I'm using Google Maps. Google really factors in reviews. But if you're, let's say, a software company or like a services company where you service a very large area, maybe even internationally, still it's possible. It requires strategic thinking and it requires a lot of patience as you go. You know, I build out test websites just to see, can I rank a website? I've used AI to generate content for these. I've done it all human written. In either scenario, if you pick the right spot, if you have the right focus and strategy, if you create content that is valuable, it can grow. You know, one of my websites, we've like 10x or more search impressions in the past year. I really haven't done a lot for it other than thinking, how do I make a really good website for people to solve this problem? It's just finding eco-friendly alternatives to like single-use products. I have a client in the video software space going up against venture-backed competitors, and this is a solopreneur. We increased traffic like 1,000% just by focusing on what's your key competitive advantage? Why do your customers use your product? Let's build a strategy around that. And in 3 months, I mean, traffic shot up, even though he'd been going off of, up against huge competitors in the space. So it's possible. You just got to pick the right niche. You got to create really good content, really focus it and pay attention to what works. You know, if you kind of pick blog topics out of a hat and say, let's see if this one will work this week, that's a recipe for failure. But if you think, you know, this is how we're going to create a website for our ICP, this is how we have a plan to get in front of them in this way and solve this specific problem, that tends to work a lot better.
Before you come up that strategy, do you do your research on what you could possibly do? Or how does that work if you're kind of a new business? Do you say, okay, before I really understand, I'm sure you have to understand your customer a little bit first, yeah. But is it kind of a give and take there?
Yeah, good question. I mean, this is kind of where my background as a product manager comes into play, because as a product manager at HubSpot, we would think about strategy in a very specific way. HubSpot's a fantastic company, and they're not just picking product ideas out of a hat saying, maybe this will work. You know, we think, who's our customer? What are their problems? How do we position ourselves favorably in the market? How do we win? How do we think strategically? That's really what strategy is. It's a set of decisions that you make and coordinate to reach that goal. So I adapted that framework to content, really starting with, what's the goal for your business? Is it leads? Is it customers? Is it demos? If you're a software company, is it phone calls, that type of thing? Great. Who's the buyer persona? Who are you trying to reach that's going to help you achieve that goal? What are the questions that they ask in their buying journey that lead them to taking that key action? If it is buying a software product, how do they buy software products? How do they buy your software product? What are the questions that they're going to ask as they get to that? People think SEO is very like top of the funnel. And blog posts, 10 reasons why X, or 10 best ways to do, you know, Z. But people make pretty predictable decisions or ask predictable sets of questions when they're buying software. I just did this earlier. I was looking for, like email marketing software. And, you know, when I was looking at HubSpot, well, I worked at HubSpot. That's why I used HubSpot. But before, I was looking at like best newsletter software and maybe comparing ConvertKit to ActiveCampaign or alternatives. These are very predictable sets of questions. You have content to address those questions, and you got to measure that content's performance. And those are kind of the five key decisions that I take my clients through and ways that I architect these strategies. But a lot of it starts with buyer persona, pain points, challenges, goals. You answer that, you understand those questions, how they morph or kind of evolve through the buyer's journey, and then you create your content to address those.
I'm seeing a trend here. Really put the shoes of your customer on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because that's like, there's a lot of content out there, and most of it, frankly, is just not very good. It's rare that I land on it's rare that I land on a website and I think, man, that was actually a really interesting blog post. And like, if you had a blog post that was interesting, people will stick around on it, and it has a much higher chance of converting. And that's like the hard disconnect that people see is the big thing that I've realized is a lot of people look at like content creation in SEO and marketing as the activity. Got to send the email newsletter on Tuesday. We have to have the blog post up by Friday. Cross our fingers, maybe it'll do something. Versus looking at it as an investment in your growth in a conversation starter with your target customer. Better you understand your target customer, better you're going to understand the questions that they ask, and you're going to be able to stand out and pick the very specific opportunities on Google to rank, and the better your content's going to respond. The reason that's important is anyone can load up SEMrush and Ahrefs and plug in something like CRM or email marketing software and load up a million results, sort by search volume, and write a bunch of generic blog content for each one. They're all giving Google content that Google has seen before and is going to rank on page 5. If you really understand, here's how our specific buyer persona, maybe it is content creators who interview entrepreneurs and are looking for email newsletter software, specific needs that those folks have, well, that's a website that stands a chance of success, because they're going to create content around the specific needs and challenges that that individual has versus, you know, e-commerce shops or local businesses or SaaS companies.
So kind of moving toward the end of our interview, your personal insights. There's a question I always love to ask every entrepreneur I interview. What was your childhood like? Did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I grew up outside of Boston. I currently still live there. Never left. You know, my dad runs a business. He runs a family office, a private wealth management firm, and he has since I was a kid. And I've always wanted to run a business, seeing him do that. You know, when I was younger, I loved to write. I started writing on the internet. I ran a sports blog that made a little bit of money, which is fun. I did that in college. We sold t-shirts and all that good stuff. And so I've always been very entrepreneurial until I got to this point where now I'm able to do this full time, which is just a lot of fun. And I feel very fortunate to do so. But yeah, you know, always grew up in that environment, read business books with my dad, really kind of thought about how do you provide a valuable service and help people? How do you do some good in the world and ultimately build a business out of it? So kind of from a young age, definitely always had that in my sights.
And what skills or knowledge do you consider essential for running a successful SEO business?
Yeah, I think curiosity and patience are the two big things. You know, curiosity, because like it changes fast and marketing changes fast. And you need to always stay curious and always be willing to be wrong. You know, I think that's the one thing I learned from HubSpot and customer success is, a lot of people would tell me, you know, if you don't know what to say or how to answer a customer question, don't make something up. Don't get flustered. Just say, I don't know. Let's find out. And that's an attitude that I've taken, you know, to what now. There's a lot of times I'm faced with something I've never seen before, but with curiosity, you can figure out the answer. And that makes it kind of fun. And obviously patience, because you know, you're dealing with clients, you're dealing with their businesses. Sometimes things are going really well, sometimes not going as well. It's been a tough year for a lot of businesses out there. So being patient, helpful, supportive, and ultimately solving problems and taking that attitude has been really helpful as well.
Beautiful. And so we've talked a lot about, especially, you know, for new businesses ranking and how important it is to find your exact customer. How important is it to find that niche when you're first starting out?
I think a lot of people, I was a victim of this. I started thinking I wanted to build a product. You think about your idea and what you want to do versus thinking about the problem that needs solving and what people are willing to pay for that problem and whether you have a business. I think that's the most important thing is start with the customer, understand their problems and how they go about solving them. And that will serve you well to build a business around it. There's a lot of people, and I was one of them for the longest time, where it's, I got this great idea. I'm really excited about it. Why won't anyone give me money? It's probably not something they want to pay money for. The better you can align yourself with that, better you stand a chance at actually building a business.
Those are wise nuggets. I think, yeah. I mean, I've dealt with that. I think a million people have for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I say like, man, my journey could have been a lot shorter, but yeah, that's how I learned it. And I fall victim to it today still, but it's just something I always got to drill in my head every morning is focus on what they need, not what you want. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the customer.
Yeah. And it's such a easy but hard concept to get in there. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Totally.
What advice would you give to someone looking to start their own service-based business?
I mean, just start and get a portfolio going. I see a lot of these questions on Reddit is how do I start? And it's hard starting. It is hard getting the first customer. Yes, I was very lucky to get mine on Reddit. But at the end of the day, like there's no one prescription to start. You just have to start. If you don't have a customer, if you want to get into SEO, build a website, rank it. Use that as a case study. Use that as an example. Find a friend who has a business or an uncle or aunt or your parent or whatever, or start your own business. Like those are the great places to start. If you want to build a SaaS company and you're wondering, how do I start? Learn to program, find a programmer, team up, find a problem first, obviously, and then just kind of get your hands dirty. I think that's like the hardest part, but the most critical thing is just take the first step and don't think about the end result. Like I fell victim to this. You know, I was thinking, I want to build a $1 million company one day, but I'm working a full-time job. Well, the first step is get a customer, then get five, quit your job, replace your income, maybe double your income. And then eventually you'll get there, but just keep taking those steps, keep chipping away. I think the best advice I would give is just take the first step, really.
And so I'm bummed. I only have one question left. I could talk about this. No worries. All. Where could people find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, centauri.io. So just head there to check us out, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Tyler Cianti. I don't think there's many Tyler Cianti, so just type that in the search bar. I'll probably come up. LinkedIn's really the only social I use nowadays. So that's probably the best way to connect with me. And obviously, you can check out our website and connect with us there.